views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Honestly, though, the way WandaVision progressed and ended, the second season wouldn't even make sense.
Right.
Knowing where they're going with her now and knowing that she's going to show up and be a huge part of Doctor Strange, the second Doctor Strange
you
movie.
You can't recreate that.
You can't. Yeah. Like, the whole point of that was her dealing with the death of her brother. She didn't get to breathe between between that and everything else and losing Vision. She didn't really have any breathing room.
No.
You know, because it was like one thing after another.
Yep.
From Winter Soldier, Avengers 2, then it was in the Civil War and she was dealing with that. She said shit happening to her back to back to back to back. So it was really just her grieving.
Yeah.
And you can't do that on a season 2 because she's not the same person we saw in the beginning of the season.
WandaVision season 2, still sad.
Yeah,
right.
I'm still taking over another town. Like, how do you couldn't do this?
Yeah, right.
I'm doing different types of jokes. The first episode is Jackass.
Yeah. Right. And Vision's dead.
So it's just all reality television for the second season.
Oh, no.
It's just like her on Survivor. And
Wanda goes to the Jersey Shore.
Oh, no.
Why?
I don't need Wanda fist pumping.
So could you actually do real world with WandaVision?
Stop.
I mean, I could see that happening.
Air quotes, real world.
Yeah, exactly.
She would fuck it up at the challenge.
That's true.
It being limited series. And they did good at hiding that. They're like, all these shows coming to Disney Plus. And you think show, you think, okay, well.
Yep.
Seasons. It's like, no, all these limited series coming.
But I think that gives them a lot more flexibility on what they're going to be putting on Disney Plus, is that they're going to be able to do something, another series that has Wanda included, but may not be WandaVision. It may be something else entirely. So it's really just these little kind of digging into the backstory of these characters a little bit more character-focused versions of the movies that they're doing. Because, I mean, WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, when you break it down as far as the amount of time, you're talking maybe two and a half movies worth tops.
Well, that's what I was going to lead into, is like how far can you keep progressing, over 2 hours for a movie to try to tell the whole story?
Yeah.
Even if it's not consistent series or consistent shows, like you said, she could show up on another show and still continue what's happening in the Marvel Universe.
It's basically what Marvel took from the first three phases and like, oh, wait, now we're going to do it on steroids.
Yep.
Because there were so many characters that would come in randomly on a movie that wasn't their particular movie or whatever, like Ant-Man, Falcon shows up. And that led into all this stuff on Civil War. You know, all these other MCU heroes movies had these little cameos from other MCU heroes that weren't necessarily involved in that particular part.
And now they can follow up a lot better.
And now they're just like, oh, wait, now we can do this with shows, too.
Yeah.
Yay. Like, they're just like, fuck it, we're going
to
do everything.
Well, and part of the reason they're able to do this is because they know, fundamentally, they have our fucking money. Like,
right.
You know, there's nobody that has followed the Marvel Cinematic Universe that is just like, you know what, I think I'm going to skip Falcon and Winter Soldier. No, fuck you. Even if you're not excited about that specific property, you're going to be like, well, I got to make sure I know everything that's happening.
If I know what's going to happen in the next phase, I've at least got to do some type of run-through YouTube show to, catch up on something.
How the fuck are you not being excited about Falcon and Winter Soldier?
No shit. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that like, if it's WandaVision, or if it's Falcon and Winter Soldier, or if it's She-Hulk, or whatever else other stuff is coming out, you are still going to watch it, even if it's not something you're directly excited about, because you need to know that information.
Well, no. I get what you meant, but it's just like they did purposely make sure they brought out ones that were going to be like
bangers.
Initially they were going to be bangers.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that's why Loki's like the third one.
We are going to be talking about specifically Falcon and Winter Soldier, but for sure we're also going to be talking on what is happening with the television series stuff on Disney Plus for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
True.
On this episode. This is our Falcon Winter Soldier episode. Talking about building out Sam's character and his family stuff was amazing. Dealing with the PTSD stuff that Bucky was dealing with. So much really insightful stuff that came on this series that we're getting into. So welcome to Geeks Under the Influence, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Buildings that were and shall be again. A changing of the guard. The dead's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong. So you better join us now. You better do it fast or you will be.
I hate you.
Yeah.
The love is back.
It's well, so no, it's just, yay.
Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Love is always there, but
it
just
says I hate you all the time.
That's
like
true.
I
yeah.
True.
That I did. True. I did love the character arc of them being like frenemies at the beginning of this.
Oh yeah.
And then just slowly kind of getting a little bit better and a little bit better, and then just the end of it, how it finished with that meme that's been going around where it's the like the race draft from Chappelle's Show.
Yes.
And it's. And they're like, we're drafting Bucky, and he's like eating fucking like Cajun food with right. his family.
How Marvel works, though, is that you saw something as far back as Civil War when they're sitting in the car and Cap is talking to Agent Carter, and they're both like, yeah, our boy. And they're like, no, wait, we hate each other. We can't, but we love him, you know.
Well, it was the car scene. He's like, can you move your seat up? No.
No.
But then before
they did that again.
Yeah, they did, that was a callback. And then well, before that it was actually with Spidey, and he's like, God, I hate you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just like that movie set up everything for their dynamic in the first part of this season. And very actually true. Through the whole season. Because the dynamic was there, it was just definitely more brotherly love kind of thing versus like actually not liking each other to a certain extent.
Well, like what we were talking about just to bring into the show was the especially this series, because this series touched more on the wider universe of the Marvel world, is it's going to be so much more enriching for these series. Instead of like just a two and a half hour movie, you're going to get, we had 6 hours of them to be able to tell this story and done properly.
And what I do love is that there's time in these series to understand family elements, people in their lives that you wouldn't have the time in a movie to get into. Sarah, Sam's sister, that is trying to keep the family boat literally afloat and in Louisiana, and all that dynamic with his nephews. And like, one of the most heartwarming moments of the entire series is when Sam is doing the full on fucking, like, I love a fucking montage, and he's montaging the fuck out of like throwing
that
the shield.
Badass,
and he's doing all the flips and shit. Badass. And it was so cool. And there's a moment where he's holding the shield and his nephews are like touching the front of the shield as he's holding it. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
there's a black kid in Louisiana whose uncle is fucking Captain America.
Right.
And he's touching that shield like, oh, this is like my uncle's Captain America. It was like, I mean, I'm getting fucking goosebumps thinking about it right now.
Well, and the great thing about it, because also what this series really touched on, I mean, I know we're already jumping around everywhere, but the shield was still always that symbol that meant different things to people. That we had the bad guys where it was not a symbol of good, you know, with the Planet Smashers and everything. But
well,
also,
Planet Smashers is probably the sequel. This is the season two. This is the Flag Smashers.
Or Flag Smashers. Well, no, I think that in the comics, were they originally called Planet Smashers?
I don't know. That's probably like their space.
I can't remember.
Version
sorry.
Of it.
But also the whole like back and forth of, does Sam continue to hold the shield after a few things happen when he tries to give it, or does Bucky actually pick it up like he did at one time in the comics? It really did a great bouncing around of keeping that mystery until that last episode.
And speaking of bouncing around, we're bouncing around on this conversation as we normally do, but let me introduce actually who's on this episode.
Physically
in the studio.
Yes.
All the showrunners like got vaccinated around the same time. We're within a matter of like a week or week and a half. We all got like fully like ready
done
to roll.
Done and done, yeah.
So such a relief to be back in the studio doing this thing in person, because, you know, GY started as just friends hanging out together, drinking beer, talking about our fandoms. There's so much of that energy that is needed to be in person for.
Yes,
and
sir.
Here on this episode to talk, wax fully poetic about the cinematic universe, and then and especially Falcon Winter Soldier. On my left, my partner in life and on Deeply Upsetting, Amy Bogard's here.
Hey.
You just recently did the run for the first time of all of the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I did. I watched them all. It took about a month and a half, and it was fucking awesome.
That's not bad timing.
No. It's really time-wise. Not.
I mean, that's pretty fucking good.
I mean, it was the tail end of COVID. You know, I still had time on my hands. right. I can't believe it took that long. But yeah, I watched it all. Watched WandaVision. Watched Falcon and Winter Soldier. And so now I'm up to date.
And watching Endgame with her was, I mean, not only was it me being able to relive it, like I'm seeing it for the first time because she's watching it for the first time, but like, those, you know exactly what moments I'm talking about, where it's like either blood curdle screaming of like celebration or just like blubber crying throughout that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of both.
Oh yeah,
throughout the whole thing.
Oftentimes, right next to one another.
Yeah,
you're yes.
screaming with joy, and then
that like, movie wanted to hurt me.
Yeah,
yes, right.
It's like Oh, you thought we fucked with the Infinity War. Just wait. Just hold on.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. I got you.
You ain't seen shit.
Yeah.
The roller coaster of emotions with Endgame was ha.
As Amy put it, you were a husk after.
That is what she said. Yeah.
I really was. I barely was a person.
That's why it's not surprising that it took that long, because those two weren't the first to actually put you through stuff in the Marvel world.
Oh, no, of course not.
The first Captain America was heart-wrenching at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, just save that dance for me. I'm like, oh, God, stop.
Oh, absolutely.
God. Oh, God, stop it.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, there were definitely a lot of emotional moments.
Civil War. I mean, pretty much all the Captain Americas had something in it. And the first, like, Iron Man 1 and 3, I think, had some stuff in it. Like, when Tony's going through his PTSD. Like, those movies are heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the way you did it condensed as well.
Yeah, we had years.
Oh, no, we did them in order and we did them hard. Man.
That's why I'm actually kind of excited for you to be on this episode, because you have a personal experience that we don't have with these movies of seeing them, not all of them for the first time, but a number of them.
I had seen a couple of them before, but, you know, just kind of the one-off ones where I didn't need quite as much context, like Black Panther. I had seen Ragnarok. But I didn't know what the fuck was going on in either
Black
of those.
Black Panther, you didn't need to really see anything.
Yeah.
Ragnarok.
Yeah.
But I still appreciated Black Panther so much more.
That was a standalone. Like,
true, but I didn't know about the death of like T'Chaka or anything like that. I mean, watching it this time around, it was so wild that I feel like the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, so pretty. Like, good story.
But now it's pretty but sad.
Really. It was much heavier. Like you said, like everything in Marvel has this weight to it that now I fucking feel with my whole body. Oh,
yeah. It's awesome, though. It adds so much to the viewing and the storytelling. It really does.
I'm so glad I did it.
Awesome.
Good call. Next one up on the panel is the chicken hunter of GUI.
There's another one.
Give me one more nickname, motherfucker. Yeah, right. Come on.
Seriously.
The Geek Father himself from Geek Fathers, along with Kyle Smash. We've got Scotty P here.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Longtime lover of MCU, and somebody that actually the first time that I met, officially met you, was at a friend's like comic book party where a bunch of people that like
that's right, and
read comic books.
We were totally waxing on comics and punk rock.
Yep.
So
and then the whole why haven't we been like best friends for years before this?
Well, what's mentioned on most GUI shows now is like sitting there going, well, we all should have been friends like 20 years ago.
Right.
Don't need the same fucking people.
Yeah.
All this shit.
Same parties, same groups, but somehow we just in the middle of the night just miss each other. But what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey.
Now, somebody that I have been friends with for close to 20 years at this point is...
God damn.
It's getting close. It's getting pretty fucking close.
Yes. It's a couple, like 2 more years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah. It's been a long... It's been a long road.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no? Wow.
Yes, I'll give him this.
Now, this is also a plus out of being in person, as I get to see the disdain on his face whenever I open my mouth on this show.
Well, the screen doesn't really show it so much.
Not so much.
I was about to say it is better in person.
You're right.
It really is. Yeah, it's good.
I've been working on it.
Yeah.
I've been working on it.
got my co-runner of the network and my co-host here on Geeks Under the Influence, gentleman that helps me run this fucking shit show of a network.
Woo!
Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everyone? Glad to be back in the flesh.
Fuck yes. Woo. Oh my God.
And the man who could have potentially set this whole thing on fire. We got Mike the Hobbit Bigot.
There were times just holding the match, being like, give me a reason. Just ready.
And I was like, the reason is I live here. Please don't light the studio on fire. Right. I live in this home.
But all in all, getting back to doing it in person is actually a thing too now. Like getting back to that.
Well,
it's
a new flow.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a new flow of things.
Because everything, like, it built, okay, we're recording tonight, and you kind of built your schedule around the remote version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as with anything, when it comes commonplace after you do it for so long, then it is what it is. Now it's like adaptation back to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's basically what happened in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yep.
After the snap. And it was reversed. People were coming back.
Having to try to figure out
how
to...
Great
segue. Nice segue, Scotty.
Nice segue. And I feel bad because I feel like I stole his intro thunder, but I did introduce him.
No, that's true. I'm Mike the Hobbit Bigot. And you can find all the stuff for Geeks on the Influence and our other shows on the network at GUIpodcast.com. Rate, review, subscribe, all that cool shit that you've come to know and do for all your other shows that you love. Hopefully some of them are ours. And let's get into the perfect segue that Scotty threw us that way, is that the whole premise
And it will be my last one probably for about a year.
Yeah.
So take it while you can.
The whole premise of this story of Falcon and Winter Soldier really starts with the Flag Smashers as being that it's talking about people that were settling into their lives within that 5 years of this after the snap, that then once everybody came back, got displaced and had nowhere to go and got forced out of homes because the people that used to live there came back.
Right.
And then they're like, well, no, I mean, this was there, so you have to go. And just that feeling of, for some that were refugees and got finally accepted into these communities that they were trying to get into for so long, and then being told, like, oh, never mind, after five fucking years.
Well, and that was the Flag Smasher's biggest argument, was not only people being physically displaced, but there were no longer borders.
Yeah.
There was the actual, like, groups of people were finally getting along who for generations had not gotten along, and now they were able to, and it's just being thrown up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that one scene when Sam, Nemo, and Bucky they went into that one town and they were looking for the leader because her like adopted mother had passed or whatever.
Right, sure. Right.
And they were looking for where the funeral was going to be.
Carly.
And Sam walked in looking for Carly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one dude who was teaching. He was like the only teacher basically for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something, and Sam mentioned something about refugees. And the dude was like, we're not refugees. We had nothing to run from. Because they were welcomed in because there was so much room now.
Right.
And nobody
right.
knew there people were going to come back.
Right.
The Avengers. So that actually ties into some of the earlier shit with like Civil War, where Tony was trying to get on the side of the Accord, saying how the Avengers do fuck shit up in their wake. By them bringing everyone back, they kind of fuck shit up in their wake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they did it again.
But I can understand why Sam, being, you know, a black man growing up in the South, like the deep South. Fucking small town Louisiana.
Right.
Shrimp boats and shit.
Yeah, with shrimp boats and shit. Like the amount of stuff that he has seen in his time, because it's not like he grew up like stark rich or anything. Like he grew up literally with a decrepit ass fucking boat.
and I'm sorry, one great joke would have been if you saw Forrest Gump's boat in the background. One point. Just because I just thought that would have been just like a total random.
With somebody just a silhouette that you see just waving wildly
exactly.
from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that would have been
Captain
a nice
Sam,
touch.
Let me just jump over.
You got wings, Lieutenant Sam.
Dude, that's it. You got wings, Lieutenant. Holy shit.
We're back, folks.
We're back. Yeah.
We're back.
Oh, that was good.
Damn, you stole my thunder on that. I was about to say something similar. So good one.
No,
good
solid. One. Yeah, yeah. He did. Yeah, yeah. But wings, yeah. That was awesome.
But man, like my favorite part of the entire series is Sam's family. You get to see his nephews
that was
and his
great.
Sister, and just like how his sister, like there's still so much love there, but she is feeling a little bit like neglected, where her brother's out saving the world and their parents have passed.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know,
he disappeared too. He was mm-hmm. one of the ones that disappeared in the snap as well.
Yep.
Yep.
So
yeah. And then it brought it down to, yeah, you know, you watch the Avengers movies and you watch all the big Marvel movies with all the heroes. It's like, oh, it's great. They're, you know, they're fixing all the gigantic otherworldly shit, you know, that like that'll keep the small town day to day person safe in the world.
Right.
But they never, you now you see breakdown where it's like, well, no, yeah, it's great that the world didn't die, but
yeah,
now the day to day life is still kind of fucked. So Sam, how about some help?
Yeah. Well, and even in a side note of it even comes back to Captain Marvel, where because she's sitting there going, you're not the only planet that was affected by all this as well. Mm-hmm.
Which
it
we'll
wasn't
see more of.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm hoping for, like,
there's some
Captain
space
Marvel's.
Shrimp boats that are
fuck. No.
No. I was about to go there, but no.
You struck gold. Don't
Right. Yeah. but it runs parallel to that, where it was just like you are not the only ones, you know, again, like you said, the Avengers fix all this great stuff, but what happened in the backlash of everything else?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not your world. It's just not it's affected everybody. Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really did love was kind of the differentiation between the world and then Sam's small town is how everyone treated him. where he could be out in the world and people would be like, Falcon, let me take a picture, like starstruck by him. And in the small town, it was like, what's up, Sam? I remember your parents.
Right.
So
and he goes to get the loan. They're basically like, you know who I am? Like, it's basically what he's thinking. It's like, oh, sorry. Like, you just can't get a loan. Well, I don't give a fuck.
With that loan, too, like, there was a moment where he's like, come on, man. He starts doing like the wing thing. Right?
He's like, no, like, literally, he's trying to use it. He's actually using it.
Yeah. And also, you can tell, like, and that was so perfectly acted because you can tell he doesn't give a fuck about this bank loan guy, but he's willing to use his credit as being the Falcon to help his family.
Right.
He's super on board for that. And the dude's just like, yeah, but I'm leaning into the conversation about disenfranchising in America. The dude was super stoked to meet the Falcon, wanted pictures with him and all this shit, but he wasn't going to help him.
Nope.
No. He wasn't going to do shit to help out his family.
Nope. And I will say that I did love the in-depth look at Sam's family, as well as Bucky coming into that, because basically by the end, Bucky is now part of the family.
Oh, 100%.
What really turned me on Carly was when she went threatened to fuck with Sam's family. Like, oh, no, bitch, fuck you.
Yeah, that's shit.
Right?
And from then on, I'm like, fuck her. Fuck her. That was wrong. That was fucked up.
That phone call with the turn was heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
Well, and that was actually the example of how subtle the difference was between how Sam felt and how Carly felt is that he agreed with a lot of what she was saying, but there was a line that Sam refused to cross that she just skipped across, killing people with that firebomb in that building, threatening people's families to get shit done, getting Latruc the Lipper, whatever, the French dude.
Right.
Bartrock, to get him involved. And dude was like, he's a terrorist.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but haven't you heard? We're criminals too. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you did firebomb a building with people inside. So
actually, he's an MMA fighter. But anyway.
You do see her transition, though, in the first couple episodes, because at first, it really does seem like she's like not trying to kill, not trying to, you know, people may get hurt, but it really is when she actually just blows up a building and she's like, eh, people are inside. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the really interesting things for me about her character was how important to me her youth was, was that there's this level of idealism, but also not understanding the world outside your own views, you know, where you haven't figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. And you think that what you're doing is completely right. And so you're just like in that tunnel vision.
Blinders.
But then, you know, being faced with these other things, because there were times where Sam would have a question for her and she would falter. Like, she didn't know what to say she wasn't being tested by all of these followers. She was able to, like, you know, spout prophecies and all this kind of stuff and be really well spoken. And so she had all these followers with no questioning.
Her conviction wasn't well rounded with every aspect of it, right?
Yeah. Like, but that was me at 18 too. I remember that.
You weren't trying to lead a revolution at 18 though, were you?
Oh God, no. I was too awkward and self-conscious, I thought I was right.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Not well.
No, but
here you are leading this revolution.
Yeah, this revolution of fucking dick jokes. Yeah. That's fucking
that adage of the Dark Knight, live long enough to become the villain. Mm-hmm. She did. She started out with this youth and wanting to fix and fight for the people. And then by the end of it, I feel like that was the farthest thing from her mind. It was getting what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the whole thing. You had so many followers because, all right, there was a great idea that she had at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, when you see that transition of her just going, whatever, and the people are like, even a couple of the people are like, I don't know, but they still fucking do it. It's like, come on, whoa.
A brainwashed mentality thing,
just becoming, 100%. Becoming that yes person of just, sure, whatever you say.
Yep.
Okay, so this is just a personal opinion and everyone can feel free to dissent. But something that it reminded me of when it came to like Marvel villains is, to me, she kind of reminded me of an older version of the ideals of Killmonger, where there's this idealism behind it and parts where you're like, oh, fuck, I see where you're coming from. I get what you're trying to do.
That's a very good connection, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the same way. He was like, no, we living in squalor and y'all got all this shit. Y'all killed my father, left me over here, and I have a right to this throne just like you. Like, he was very justified in his actions. You can say the same thing with Thanos. He saw worlds die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, man, just dial it back a bit.
Extremes.
Yeah.
Dial it back.
You're on 11. We can do this at 7.
Yeah.
You know, it's whoa.
Killmonger, Thanos, all other versions of this. This is a smaller scale of those versions, right?
Right, exactly. And I felt like she was kind of in that youthful age where it's like, take down anybody. I don't give a fuck. We'll do whatever we have to do to get here. Whereas Killmonger had that like older, sharpened version of it where he was like, oh, no, I knew who I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing.
Right.
Where she knew who she had to deal with. But she was like, I'm also ready to take out any of anybody else if it comes down to it.
And also one thing that it has kind of been an overarching statement, you know, throughout a number of these Marvel properties is with Black Panther, with Falcon Winter Soldier, is how the ideologies of the villain affect the hero. Is it just like Black Panther being like, okay, we've got to open up borders. We've got to start helping the world and not just Wakanda.
Yeah.
And starting at ground zero of like that apartment building in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the same thing with Sam at that beautiful speech at the end where talking about there's a reason why she was coming after you, dude.
Think about the reason.
Yeah. And she wasn't exactly wrong. Now, maybe her stuff, the way she went about it was not great, but.
Oh, it was wrong.
Wrong. But what he said is like, there's going to be another. If you don't recognize that this is a problem that people are having and not recognize their humanity, then you're going to get another Carly. And you don't want to meet 2.0. And that was such a brilliant tie-in. It's doing kind of the same approach that Black Panther did of like kind of carrying the torch for the villain. But in a more
nuanced way.
Because T'Challa realized who he was. I mean, but again, it's the whole point of, we could have just totally sat at a table, had a drink, and talked about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't have to come after me and my own.
That comes with that years of anger and rage and all, absolutely. All that built up. No one listened to any of those people's plight about at least find a place for us to go.
Don't kick us to the streets.
When I think to really see Sam fully realize as Captain America at the end, it was the balance of Carly and her ideologies and understanding that there was something specific that he can speak to that Steve couldn't
in
his role as the Captain America, but also Isaiah Bradley and him being a person that was kind of put in that position, but was forced into it and was so bitter. And so broken and destroyed by it, and Sam realizing that there's so much of a possibility of him becoming that bitter, and then having those two different people dealing with two very different avenues of being important or trying to make enforce change, and Sam trying to find a way to use that energy and use that information to inform his own path.
Right.
Yes.
And it was so important.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Something that I've really loved about the end of the third phase of the MCU with Endgame and Infinity War and then WandaVision and now Falcon Winter Soldier is the conversation that's been started about grief and the different ways that it shows and the different ways that we see it. And so from going from, Infinity War to Endgame to WandaVision, where all of that is really kind of cut and dry. And I really love that for Falcon and Winter Soldier, it was a different type of grief where half of the story, if not more, was the grief of being Black in this country and building it and then being disenfranchised by it. What an important conversation to be having while grief is still the conversation on the table with the show.
Well, and even bouncing off with that, with talking about Isaiah Bradley as well, where he sits here and tells Sam, don't pick up the shield.
Right.
And you actually see Sam going, well, I guess I won't. But then technically, to any fanboy, the shield goes to Bucky, so you start to cycle over. So when Sam decides to pick up the shield, you're like, fuck yes!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was great to, because you're breaking the cycle, you're relearning what we should relearn, and it's a perfect example of all that.
And also, I feel that there was definitely different feelings on Falcon being the first to pick up the shield at the end of Endgame, and I think this series definitely informs why it was him and not Bucky.
Absolutely.
That's not to say that Bucky won't pick up the shield at some point.
He's not right.
He's not ready yet. Not
yeah.
Right.
No.
Yeah, he's got a lot of PTSD. And
he admits to it, too. That's the great thing.
He's got a lot to atone
eventually.
For.
Yeah.
Before he's going to be in a place where he can represent that shield properly. And he knows it. He's
very
aware.
That's what I mean.
So I feel like that may be an option we see in the future. And I would love to see him, that character arc for White Wolf now.
He's
White Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
He's White Wolf. That. I would love to see that trajectory that he gets to a point where he can reasonably hold that shield, but it's clearly Sam.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, because out of the two that you mentioned, you know, that with Carly and Isaiah. But I mean, it was that melded with the fact that the same base moral compass, like Sam and Steve were like brothers in that sense. Like they were like twins of the same war. So he needed that base moral compass, and then let that other ideology kind of creep in and kind of adapt to make him the Captain America that he is.
Yeah. You know?
But he had to have that. That's it. That's the thing. That's the reason Steve was picked. There's this base moral compass that you need to have.
And a side note, because that also made me think of all the comics that were out there of Captain America and Falcon. A great series would be that Captain America and Falcon of everything where they were hunting Bucky and some of the side stories that possibly could have happened with them. Disney, if you're listening.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that would make a great, like, even like limited series.
Yep.
And just to show their friendship grow and tighten up for the whole reason of why Steve handed it to Sam.
Yeah.
You know,
and one thing there was an article I read from, I think, AV Club that was kind of by episode 5, it hadn't even finished as a series, was kind of shitting on the show a little bit, that it didn't really justify like why Sam should have the shield. And I fully disagree, is that through no fault of Sam, of Steve, he was Captain America that had a full overview of the world and what needed to be changed in large portions.
Right.
You know, that he was dealing with like cosmic shit and like full governmental things, or Hydra overtaken fucking shield, these big arcing things that have a big picture kind of element to it. But because he was only dealing with the big picture, there was a lot of stuff like not knowing about Isaiah Bradley that fell through the cracks, and he was not responsible for, because it was never something that was in his purview. Like it
he was
never
on ice when it happened.
Yeah, right. He was on ice, or he it was never something that was brought to his attention, or it was just the smaller stories that he wasn't the person that was supposed to be taking care of it. And so the realization of this series is Sam looking at how high this bar is set for Captain America.
Oh yeah,
which a lot of it is justified, but a lot of it is just the mythology that's surrounding this caricature of Captain America, and him feeling it's impossible for him to meet it. Because setting a bar and rising to a bar are two entirely different things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Sam is realizing in this series that not only is there an element that Steve could never bring to the shield that he can, that there are people that are fully disenfranchised, that need representation, that need a hero, that Steve, in his own way, in a larger scale, represented. Sam can more directly represent the disenfranchised in not just the America, but around the world. And that is a modern Captain America. Mm-hmm. That is what a post blip
Captain America
MCU needs to be. Yeah.
And for those bitching, you know, around episode 5 about, you know, clearly, because that's where the montage happened, like Sam's working with the shield to be Captain America, because that Dingleberry they picked, the government fucking pig, and fuck all.
that's gonna be a whole.
That's some second half tangent shit, because I got something to say about that.
Oh yeah.
But they let you know early on with Bucky, going outside of like needing like what you just said, and I agree, the modern day Captain America that has that more tight knit, block by block, street by street purview of the world that Bucky nor Steve has, right? But like they let you know in that one conversation where Bucky's like, if Steve was wrong about you, that means he was wrong about me. He does not believe in himself.
Yeah.
Right.
He still fears, even though when he was in Wakanda, he went through that and they read the words and he fought it. And that was a very intense scene. I teared up a little bit at that because he was so happy after that.
Oh,
but
yes.
Like when he tells Sam that, like my heart hurt because he is so scared that like he is never going to be Bucky.
Right.
Just Bucky.
Yeah.
With the supers. Obviously, he's going to have a super serum, but like, you know.
Well, yeah. But fortunately, by the end of that, you see where that's on the up and up, so that there's a lot more to build on that.
Yeah.
And which, again, brings into just that side note of, that's why we need these series, and that's why Marvel, Disney was really smart about doing these series. We need these series to fill in the gaps, because it can't all be about, we're just saving the world.
Yeah.
No, we've got to go in and see the nitty gritty on shit and see what's going on.
Well, I think that's another conversation about idealism, like I was talking about with Carly, is that is definitely one thing that Steve had in spades, was idealism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when it came to like signing the Accords, where it was like, no, we know what's best. Like, this whole ideal of the, you know, the Avengers and all of that kind of stuff. That is what, his name just fell out of my brain, Falcon. And brought Sam yeah. Jesus Christ. Sam brought to the table is less idealism and more empathy. Like he is actually, you know, well aware and still is fighting. Like he has the idealism, but in a more realistic way. And it's so amazing. And that's the important balance that needs to be there.
That's awesome. You brought up the Sokovia Accords, and that actually ties into what Hobbit just said about the modern day Captain America, because that showed where Steve was at
exactly
as Captain America, because he was thinking like he brought up what he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew world domination, Nazis, Hydra, like we're fighting this. What if they tell us we can't go, but we need to go fight these bad guys, and they tell us we can't? That's why I'm not signing this. But
we know better.
But there's so much more.
Right. Well,
that's what Cap did in the first Avenger. You
know, yeah.
Mindset.
In the first Avenger, they're like, you can't go save your friends. And he's like, I'm gonna.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then later they're like, okay, you did it. So that's
cool. Sokovia Accords, it just nicks that. It's like, no, fucker, if you go somewhere, we tell you not to, you're in jail.
Yeah.
And that's why you wouldn't sign it. But like, I've always had this, I've always battled with how I felt about the Sokovia Accords. Like, I get where it's needed to be more, there need to be more conversation, there need to be more finite. You know,
yeah, it wasn't black and white. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and that's always been, well, that's a Marvel thing, period, is where you, again, where I know we're circling back on everything, where you always have that higher, whether it's our government, U.S. or Hydra, whoever, that is sitting there going, this is for the greater glory.
Mm.
But what about this little group over here?
Exactly.
Right.
That they don't fit into the mold. Not that it's a bad thing, of course, but what are we going to do for them?
And I love that. It's a conversation that is had regularly about disenfranchised groups around the world that are then labeled terrorists later, because literally it's like, it's react and do something about it or die.
No one's listened to them.
And then it becomes
reaction.
The idea is you call them terrorists, but these are people that are literally just trying to survive. Like, and you're not giving them the space or the opportunity to do so. And that's such an important conversation. And it's even like, revolutionary or terrorist, depending on who you're talking to. Carly even says at one point, that's such an important distinction.
It is.
That's why the importance of an empathetic Captain America is so important. And just the way that he treated Carly spoke everything about Sam's character and the way that he views the world, that he wants more information. Mm. He's not just trying to react, as it were.
Go punch bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He wants the information first to make a really like educated choice.
Yeah.
Well, and that even brings up Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
His backstory on the whole reason on why he's doing what he's doing is because his country basically got fucked by Ultron, but they built a memorial for them. Wow.
Yeah.
No, and he's like, wait a minute, my family dead. My neighbors are dead.
And nobody visited the memorial either.
And nobody went to visit the memorial, but yet I'm out here rectifying what I think need to be rectified, because obviously no one is listening.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's a lot to talk about with Nemo, actually, but before, I want to touch on what Amy said. So how do you feel Steve would have handled Carly? I think that's a good... I think, honestly, how do you think he would have... Because he was all about having a conversation. But how do you think he would, like, I'm interested in here, like, how do you think that he would have handled that?
That's a really good question. That's something interesting for me to think about. I have some, I think, very unpopular opinions about Steve. I don't love how incredibly idealistic he is. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way that he handled Bucky. I definitely didn't like the way that he handled Bucky in regards to Tony. I felt like he was extremely unsympathetic to Tony.
Tony, like, he killed his mom, regardless if it was him or not.
And literally was just kind of, and was watching Tony find that out and was like, I mean, this is my person. And it's like, Tony has also been your person for a long time. Like, he has this very specific set in his ways. So honestly, I don't think that he would have had a conversation with Carly. I think that he would have tried. I don't think he would have tried to kill her or anything, but I think that he would have tried to stop her before talking, for sure.
He still would have gotten physical before talking. He would have tried. He would have tried to handcuff her and have her in custody before talking to her.
Exactly.
Yeah,
versus Sam rolling in with no wings, no nothing.
Right.
Just having a conversation. He's
exactly.
Like, you stay here. Give me this money. And then Dingleberry fucks that up.
Well, again, that's a whole other subject. Yeah,
I feel like Steve was law first, period. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no black or there was no gray area. It was black or white. Whereas I think the gray area is exactly where Sam lives. And that's why we need him to be here,
that's
which
true.
Makes
that's
me fucking
true.
Emotional, man. Sam yeah. is my right. Captain
Sam
America
does
all
like
day.
And yeah, he talks about that he picks up every time he picks up the shield. There's a lot of people that hate him for it. Like
yep.
absolutely. Yeah.
His existence. He's like a black man in America wearing the stars and stripes. What don't I understand?
Oh,
like
my God. That was
entire yeah. existence. And that conversation, the conversations he has with Isaiah Bradley about whether it's fair to expect a black man to represent a country that has like shat on black Americans for as long as they have.
Absolutely.
After they built the country.
After they built it. And yeah. it's like, yeah, we built this country. Nobody can tell me I can't defend it. It was like, oh. But yeah, we got to take a break because we got to do, you know, the announcements of some of the other shows that you might want to check out on the network. And then when we get back, we'll talk about our sponsors, get into a drunken scene or two, what we're drinking, that kind of thing. So stick around. We'll be back. And we're definitely going to be talking a lot more about some of the villains. We haven't talked about Sharon much. We haven't talked about Captain Douche.
Nemo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Zemo. We haven't talked about anything.
It's not Nemo. It's Zemo.
Zemo. Yeah, sorry.
You've been watching too much Disney with your wife.
Yeah. I like that I co-sign Nemo's like, wrong. Nemo. I'm like, yeah, Nemo. Yeah. Yeah. Along for the ride.
Way to just dry jerk him that way, yep, you know? Yep. Come on.
I don't get him as often as he does. Yep.
Baron Nemo. Yes, the famous Marvel
with
villain.
With only one arm?
Yeah, right.
Oh.
All right, we'll be back in just a second, so stick around.
Woo.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the new series on Disney Plus.
Can we go ahead and say, since we're in the second half, we would now call it Captain America and
correct.
Winter Soldier.
Hell
it
yeah.
It is now Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which I love the memes about Bucky being like, bro, like, right? Where's this White Wolf shit, man? Like,
right?
Why am I exactly. still Winter Soldier? Which I think that might end up getting tweaked before the new series.
Captain and the White Wolf? Yeah, that'd be Captain America.
That'd be awesome.
Knowing the way they have followed the crowd, like the fanboys on some of this stuff,
yeah.
It's a good chance.
Yeah,
well, good chance.
And actually, as a side note to that, they do that. They do follow it, but they also tend to follow the wrong stuff too.
Yeah.
Positive, man.
Oh, wait, I'm new. Tell me more.
Oh, it's just Disney in general with, like, following, like, some of the extremist trends of stuff.
Oh, you're not talking about Marvel. You're talking about Disney.
Disney.
I thought that there was some Marvel shit that I didn't know.
No, I mean, Marvel's technically separate, but I would say it's
most apparent with what they did with the new trilogy of Star Wars, where they kind of went back and forth with J.J. Abrams stuff, and then they went Ryan Johnson, and then people hated that, so they're like, oh, no, J.J., and then that sucked even worse.
Yeah. Marvel has been pretty solid all the way through. I'm just waiting. I am, like, in my subconscious, kind of just waiting for them to do that level of fuck up with Marvel.
I hope that they just know at this point that they were able to fucking stick the landing so hard on 2023 movies. Or, 22 with Endgame, but...
Well, yeah.
That they'd just be like, no, just keep doing that.
There is a formula.
Everyone forgets Endgame wasn't the last movie in the phase, though.
That's what I mean. 2022 was Endgame. 2023 was Far From Home. So, but yeah, before we get into the conversation about Captain America and the White Wolf, Winter Soldier, whatever you want to call him.
White Wolf. The Winter Soldier.
We celebrate the White Wolf in this family.
Yeah. There you go.
We got to talk about our sponsors a little bit. First up is Amazon.com. If you want to get into the backlog of the MCU, purchase those movies. There's special editions out and available. There's the individual movies. There's all sorts of merchandise, T-shirts, all of that available at Amazon. Just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com. Click on that fucking link, and then we get money. And it's not like you spend more on the stuff. We just get some of the money that you're giving to Amazon. They're just like a kickback to us.
For
sending you that way. So even if you're buying toilet paper, we don't care what you're purchasing through Amazon.
We don't see what you're purchasing.
No, we just see the money. The money.
Yeah, there you go.
You get a little higher on that one. Consistency. You got no consistency. Yeah.
So do us a favor. If you are going to shop Amazon for literally anything, just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com. And then the best way to support us is through TeePublic. We have been donating all of our proceeds from TeePublic to the Holly Fund. We're going to be finishing that up here pretty soon as the restaurants are opening up and people are able to be sitting at even the bar now in Virginia.
Things are rolling. Well, Virginia needs our bars. I mean, we need them.
So for the time being, I've been saving up some of our proceeds in our PayPal just to give a more bigger lump sum than the few bucks here and there.
Right.
But there's going to be one big drop for our final thank you to Holly Fund. And then we're going to start actually keeping some of the money from TeePublic.
We're actually going to blow a load?
Yeah. We're going to blow a load on Holly Fund.
All right. Sweet.
But then after
Holly Fund does not want to be included.
No,
in
they don't. No.
Just blow a load on Holly. Is that?
Yeah. Blow a load. Yeah. That's not the name of the episode.
No.
It's the parallel song to Come On, Eileen.
Yep, there it is.
God damn it.
I love you.
That was good. Yeah. That was good. Mike's just mad you didn't think of that.
No, I am. I am, in fact. But TeePublic is where you can go for all the merchandise for Geeks Under the Influence. We've got our T-shirts, we've got buttons, stickers, magnets, fucking mugs, all sorts of stuff available.
You can have my face on your pillow.
Stop with the fucking pillow already.
Jesus.
It's been over a year since I brought that shit up. Suck it.
But additionally, this week, I'm going to be dropping a bunch of new designs on the TeePublic page as well for you to enjoy both GUI related stuff and network related stuff as well.
Jesus Christ.
I think we're just about to broach into the 40s in the number of designs we have available. But basically, we have enough designs now that there's going to be at least something where you're going to look at it and go, okay.
You should be able to keep your family clothed with all the designs we have.
Mm-hmm. For a month.
Easily.
Nobody that even is a showrunner on the network has all the shirts.
No.
There's just too many shirts.
No.
Yeah. I have a lot of shirts.
Yeah.
And I have enough shirts that I can wear a new shirt for almost 2 weeks. But I can't do a full month. But there are enough designs that you can, if you want to go through GUIpodcast.com/store to find the link to TeePublic, or just click on the store link on our homepage, and that'll send you right to the TeePublic page. And shop to your heart's content. You don't got to put any codes in or anything. Just go through our link. They know you came from our website. That you're buying our stuff. They know that it's our stuff. So it's super easy. And we want to see you hashtag and Geeks Under the Influence or GUI Podcast or GUI Network with these designs. We want to see people in fucking Ohio or Japan or wherever these designs are going.
Estonia.
Sure. Big population in Estonia that are fans of GUI.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Support the network and get some new cool shit as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's our sponsors. Now, moving on to the real fuel of this show, especially when we're in person, because we actually get to share the booze.
Yeah.
And we've got a decent amount to share here on what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay.
I still always forget about the Beau part. Because it's so new still.
Right?
Comparatively, it's so new.
Friends that have been on the show, like that aren't showrunners or anything, that have talked about how that song gets stuck in their head.
Oh, earworm, for sure. Total earworm.
It's ridiculous. But we've actually got some shares that we're enjoying tonight. First off, Lowdown, what are we sipping on that you got here?
We are sipping on, as you know, I got to keep it East Coast local, as per usual.
Boom.
This is from Final Gravity Brewing Company out of Henrico, Virginia. This is their Black Forest Schwarzbier.
It's good.
I like it.
I'm into it.
5% ABV, easily sessionable, you know.
It's not overly heavy, but it's got some nice maltiness to it. It's very even-keeled Schwarzbier. Really nice, lightly malted flavors.
It's got that smoke to it.
It's got that barely sweet dry that I really dig on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and
very nice.
I was a little bummed because for the whole time we were doing remote, they had a Vienna Lager. Mm-hmm. And... like,
oh, you know how we love our Devil's Backbone.
Oh, dude, I did it side by side. I'll take Final.
Nice.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
It's fucking good.
Because we've talked about Devil's Backbone Vienna Lager for fucking years.
I still love Devil's Backbone Vienna Lager. There's no negatives about that. But I'm just saying, if I had a side by side and they say you can only pick one, I will pick Final Gravity's.
Wow. Okay.
Personally, for me, it is so rich and malty with still that light crisp that you want from a Vienna Lager.
That's great.
It's fucking crazy how they did it. And it had run out, you know, about a month and a half ago. I finally, like, either ran out or he said they told me it's coming back. I said, guys, you need to fucking four-pack this shit or something because it was only Crowlers or at the brewery.
Oh, wow. I'm like, guys,
you need to fucking four-pack this. I'm trying to get people to drink. It's fucking delicious.
Fair enough.
I had a rant about that because this is another lager that they did. They have a Maybach out now too, but I drank that.
Oh, I love a good Maybach.
And maybe you might get that in the future.
Ooh.
But
all right.
But I'm telling you, Final Gravity's crushing it on beers, man. And they are.
Richmond
is, when you say East Coast local, Richmond is East Coast local as fuck because we have so many good breweries.
So many
good fucking breweries. And cideries and wineries and meaderies.
Another beer that I actually went out looking for specifically for this episode that unfortunately where I went for beer, they did not have it available, but it is normally readily available in the Richmond area from Triple Crossing is, talk about thematically appropriate, Falcon Smash.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a really nicely balanced New England style IPA that's just like, it's got some floral elements. It's not super hop heavy on its approach to the IPA.
Well, like we were talking about, it's one of the few IPAs that most of the time we shit on IPAs, but that's one of the few good ones.
Yeah.
I will say that is the IPA that got me into IPAs because it is a New England style IPA, which is just juicy and fruity and not like...
Say juicy again.
Bitter. Juicy.
Yeah.
Juicy.
Not fucking bitter and piney and dry.
Right.
And I literally like, that's the... I remember trying that IPA. I'm like, holy fuck, I'm not mad at this. And then it just progressed to where now I love different versions of New England style IPAs. So there is actually an IPA I drink because for years, listeners know, I would fucking dick punch a fucking IPA quick.
Yeah, damn right.
So, yeah.
But I mean, you're not wrong.
Falcon Smash, even as somebody that normally does not imbibe the IPAs, I can say that I will absolutely take down some Falcon Smash. It's delicious. It is well balanced. The hop on it just gives it a crispness as opposed to that like dirty bong water kind of approach that
that's basically the description I was gonna say.
It's
really good. And unfortunately I wasn't able to pick up some for this episode, but I still want to endorse the fuck out of that it's so thematically appropriate, and also it's a really good beer.
Yeah.
You can get Triple Crossings, Falcon Smash, do it.
Yeah. Now, the one that I did get that was thematic to this episode is in honor of Sam and his family living out in Louisiana. I had to go with a Louisiana beer. So, Abita Brewing Company out of Louisiana.
Good.
Very good. It's the main beer that they're known for is Purple Haze. Is a really, really good one.
Yeah. That is one.
Which, let me say, Purple Haze would have been appropriate just for Zemo as well.
Yeah, true.
That is true.
I thought about Purple Haze, but I wanted to drink more than one, and sometimes Purple Haze is a little bit much for more than one or two beers for me.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I went with the Amber Lager as well, but really anything that I've had from Abita has been pretty solid.
Abita's top notch.
So this is good. I've never had their Amber Lager, and I'm enjoying it, but it doesn't feel like an Amber Lager to me.
There's a...
like, it's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't taste like amber lager.
It's a
It's lighter than most.
Is that what it is?
I think it's lighter.
The maltiness on it is just a little bit more of a light touch.
Okay, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And that makes a difference. The malt, because that's the backbone. That's like the aftertaste. Like the malt hits you at the.
I would say this, as far as an amber lager that you could drink with the weather's a little bit warmer, this is a little bit more approachable.
This one's almost all year round, really. I would say the taste. Yeah, for sure.
All right, that's got
to
be what it
is. I got a shout out real quick to the Abita Strawberry Lager. I'm not like a sweet drink kind of girl. That beer, you've tried it, Mike, so good. It's basically like this beer, but if you squeezed a fresh strawberry into it, like it's just right there on the back end, but it tastes so real. It's not sugary whatsoever. That is a drinkable treat.
Yes,
it is so fucking good. It's so much less sweet than like the Purple Haze, for instance.
Yeah.
Even though it sounds sweeter, ooh, I crave it year round and it's tough to find.
Yeah.
Fair.
Highly recommend if you can pick it up.
So a shout out to our listeners out in Louisiana that are probably sick to death of Abita at this point.
Oh, definitely.
Abita, that's probably like their PBR for us.
Yeah,
really.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit classier. It's probably like their legend.
Yeah,
there you go.
PBR is classy as fuck.
Yeah.
Blue ribbon, motherfucker.
All right, get out. So
award-winning.
I can't even respond to that. I don't know what to say.
Well, what we can say is we can say that we have some really fancy little lines to read from Falcon and the Winter Soldier on our next little thing called Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
What?
So we've got a couple that are focusing on characters that we are going to talk a little bit more here on the second half that we didn't. We talked a lot about the heroes and their progression on the first half. Second half is going to be all about the villains, all the weirdies.
$1 million. Oh, sorry.
Not that. Wrong that villain. Yeah. Although, talk about a weird turn. All of a sudden, you've got fucking Mike Myers in the mix a little bit. If they just threw Mike Myers
Didn't hear about the next phase of MCU?
Yeah.
I don't want to be involved in that. So not with my Marvel.
We've got a scene with John Walker talking to the government official in court, and we've got a scene with Zemo and Bucky. So we'll start with Zemo and Bucky.
Yeah.
This is from the first time that Zemo and Bucky are seeing each other after all the.
Was it like episode two, I think, or something?
Two or three, something like that. Yeah. So. Here we go. In Russian, but I'm doing it in English. Longing, rusted, 17.
Those days are over.
I know. I just wanted to see how the new you reacts to the old words. Something is still in there. At least you were not conscious for most of your imprisonment.
That time wasn't exactly a picnic.
Basket?
Jesus Christ.
For what it's worth, I am sorry. It, how you say, was never personal. You were simply a means to a necessary end.
What the fuck? You sound like, what was it?
In Russia, Winter Soldier, you.
Yeah, oh, shit. Holy fuck.
For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're like Drago when he's drunk. Shit.
That was good. That was good. I like that.
If Winter Soldier dies, he dies.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a runner-up. You gotta figure those two out. That's freaking good. If Winter Soldier dies, he dies.
That's subtitle. Yeah. Subtitle. Yeah.
All right. A Light of My Life. Are you ready for the next one here?
Of My Life?
I was talking
Darling?
About Light of My Life? Different
I suppose
episode.
Yeah. I'm ready for my close-up.
So you're going to John Walker this bad boy?
I am.
Lowdown's going to be government official whenever you're ready.
Okay. I lived my life by your mandates. I dedicated my life to your mandates. I only ever did what you asked of me, what you told me to be, trained me to do. And I did it. And I did it well.
Hey. You will be given an other than honorable discharge retroactive to the beginning of the month. You will hold no rank in retirement and receive no benefits.
Goddamn.
Now, that last line, receive no, but like no rank and retirement and receive no benefits. So what we learned from Sam at the bank is that the Avengers don't make a fucking salary.
Yep.
Right.
Nope.
So this fake Captain America motherfucker rolls in with a fucking bank account and salary just rolling right into it. No problem. Yep.
You won't pay me, apparently.
Cap, in the meantime, has been on the lam for like 2 fucking years up to before like Infinity War and Endgame, just eating fucking like ramen and living in basically fucking hovels. And
he had to be eating some protein, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's still thick.
Yeah,
he was still thick. Let's just be real.
Respect. Right.
Like
respect
the America's the ass thing is, you saw that thick bottom that he had.
America's ass.
In Endgame.
Damn right.
And it was a lot better than the ass that was happening in, like, the earlier times.
Maybe he was doing more glute raises. I don't know. Fuck me.
He was squatting.
More box jumps. Yeah.
Box jumps.
He does his Kegels.
Yeah. His Kegels. Oh. Yeah. Important.
Captain America's Kegels.
So let's really get into John Walker here.
Keep
for this.
Keep it tight butt, tight butthole, apparently.
Keep that balloon not toy. Oh,
Jesus.
Toy.
The fact you that's Peel, right?
Yeah.
Like he Peel. Yeah. Toy.
Toy. Oh, I missed this second half when we're in
God. Right.
All right.
Oh, we're in the midst now.
Yeah, we got Walker. We got this motherfucker.
Fucking up looking bitch.
Now, I got to say that Wyatt Russell, who is clearly Kurt Russell's kid.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, especially. And Goldie Hawn, yeah, absolutely. But especially his line when he starts yelling is like, "You made me, you trained me." He sounds exactly his dad.
Exactly yes, like him.
He sounds like when he yells, which I think that's just how Kurt Russell acts as he yells.
So well, Russell's yell.
Yeah. Everything can be pinpointed back to Jack Burton.
Mm. Yes, 100%.
And that was totally like you're sitting there going, "Oh, that is Kurt Russell doing Jack Burton again."
Yep,
and I love it. But that's what it is.
But A, he was told correctly by his parents, don't get social media. If you're going to be an actor, just stay the fuck off social media.
Basically.
So apparently everybody is just like, I'm going to murder Wyatt Russell. Like, not even the character, just like he, that piece of shit. And he's like, no, that's awesome. That means I did my job as an actor that you hate this much.
That was another meme that was going around that he's now included with all those actors that everybody hates. They don't hate the actor. They just hate the character that they played.
Yep. But he's like,
he's
that's
on that list now.
What I was supposed to do, so I'm pretty stoked that that's how people reacted to it. That right. You're supposed to hate this character.
Yeah.
I did my job.
I guess coming into it when I saw who it was when they did the reveal, you know, in the episode.
Man, that mask does nothing for his ears. Like, those ears are like sticky.
It doesn't do anything
for his face, man. Like, it doesn't do anything for his face. Like, it was clearly not fitted.
He's an attractive dude, and that mask. Well, because I only watched Falcon and Winter Soldier this week, so I wasn't watching it live because I was finishing the MCU. And so I had seen the pictures of him in the mask. I had no fucking idea it was Wyatt Russell from those pictures.
Yeah.
Because, good Lord, that helmet just
It doesn't help him at all. And I was like, okay, well, I want to see where this goes because I know Wyatt Russell from Overlord. And Overlord was an awesome sci-fi
movie.
Horror flick, you know, World War II, Nazi Germany, scientists fucking with mutation people and all that. Anyway, I'm like, cool. And I'm like, you guys kind of fucked him. They kind of fuck him over a bit in this story.
He was also directed by one Jay Baruchel in Goon 2. He was the other goon that came in Goon 2.
Yeah, we already talked about Goon 2, though.
That was outside.
Yeah.
In better news, I also remember him from that episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, that's right.
Where when I watched that episode of Black Mirror, I was like, that looks like Kurt Russell. Oh. And that was the first time I saw him. So I Googled him and I was like, well, there you go.
Can
we talk about Mackie in Black Mirror?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a wild episode.
Yeah. I love that episode, though. I thought it was fucking,
it was really good.
It crossed so many, and it's like crossed and also like brought together so many lines.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
I feel like.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway.
100%.
Black Mirror truly fucks.
We need to actually do an episode on Black Mirror.
And so did Mackie in that episode.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Well, not him personally.
Yeah, well.
We haven't done that episode.
True. Anyway.
Dibs? Hi.
Yeah,
really
hopefully we
get
a new
episode.
Season. But I'm sure we're going to get a new season.
They're getting weaker, though, and it bums me out.
We'll see.
But Walker, You can tell he was picked. Nothing that was beholden to Steve and that is still beholden to Sam is in Walker. Walker is an amazing soldier. He saved lives. He's still like, yeah, but the fuck did I have to do to get this medal? Like, they keep bragging about right. this shit. Like, he's like, I don't deserve this shit. Like, I don't deserve this recognition.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I really did love Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought it was really a great miniseries kind of thing overall. The one thing that I felt like was sort of lacking was character development for Walker. I wish that there was a little bit more behind the scenes. You know, like, I felt like his wife was basically a pointless character. She was just there to support him through his good and evil, you know, like, whatever. Yeah. She was just like, yeah,
maybe that was a story for her, though.
True, I know.
There are tons of wives like that.
That's 100% true, but she kind of felt, like, irrelevant to me. There was no point in her even being there, especially because he kind of already had his sidekick. His wife was like, why was she even present, you know? Because after his sidekick, you know, passed away, she had didn't even have a speaking role. Like, why was she even there?
Yeah, that'd be the time to bring her in, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I think I wish I would have just seen a little bit more, like, maybe turmoil or something.
Or seeing a change in her husband with, like, the new role.
Oh, not even for her, for him. Like, I just felt like it kind of went from, like, oh, okay, well, I don't really want this, to, like, an extreme, you know, psychotic character. And it just didn't feel quite as developed to me.
He was taking his... You think she noticed he took his fucking serum.
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, like, how is that not even addressed?
The question
is...
You know he fucks different.
Right?
Oh, definitely.
He definitely fucks
different. But the question is, did he actually go home? Because you never actually see him...
That's true.
...in between certain parts. And then, with, obviously, spoiler, is with him leading into U.S. Agent... That's a whole nother story that could be done with another series.
True.
A part of one of the movies.
The way they ended it with going that way with U.S. Agent was smart.
Exactly.
That was smart.
Exactly.
I definitely like that they added, what's her face?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
She was so great in this.
Yep. And as Val, and for anybody that is familiar with the comics, she was a love interest for
Fury.
At one point. Yeah. But also she was Lady Hydra. Mm-hmm. As well, and
what?
Yeah, she was like a double agent.
I don't know the comics.
They technically classify her as a triple agent because she would go back and forth. Yeah, between S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra and everything.
With Zemo being in play and totally wearing the fucking mask, which I was so stoked about.
I'm so glad they finally did that.
And pulling in Lady Hydra and then U.S. Agent. And then what they're doing with Sharon Carter as well, they are 100%, and everybody's going to the fucking raft, and who runs the raft is Ross.
Right? Mm-hmm. Thunderbolt Ross.
Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. They're doing fucking Thunderbolts. I guarantee you they're going to be doing a fucking Disney Plus series of Thunderbolts.
That would be smart.
Which is basically, I mean, for lack of a better comparison, that's basically Marvel's Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean, it really
just
is.
Just bad guys doing some shit. They became, they came into a lot of the story with Civil War in the comics, because they basically were in charge of the heroes that didn't sign up for registration that were still doing the superhero shit.
Yep.
The government put villains on the case to round them up.
Yeah.
And it was so fucked. So I'm stoked about Thunderbolts. I am stoked that U.S. Agent is now a character in the MCU that's just doing some shit.
Side note too, not only Thunderbolts, but that if they ever decide to do, which would fit more with the series or limited series, would be stuff like the Dark Run, which would be like Dark Avengers, Dark X-Men, that stuff as well. So
yeah, I am looking forward to it. But I do agree what Amy was saying is that U.S. Agent or new Cap, John Walker,
he ain't no Cap.
No, he's not. And I get that they had a limited amount of time to really flesh out that character.
Mm-hmm.
And you know enough about like how people felt about Cap that you know that anybody that's coming into that role that isn't somebody like Sam or Bucky to a degree is not going to be able to handle the pressure of being in that
role.
No
way.
Especially when people are like, there was that dude that was just like, do you know who I am? And the dude was like, yeah, and I don't care. Like, nobody's actually taking seriously as Captain America. That's like when, what's-his-fuck sang for Queen?
Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
Adam Lambert sang for Queen. Nobody was just like, oh, he's the new fucking Freddie Mercury.
It's just our excuse to see Queen current day.
Yeah.
Is all it was.
It's like a really good Queen cover band.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So that's all that this Cap is a fucking cover band of Captain America.
There you go. Nice.
And that, and one that totally just fucked the shield, dude. Like, We should never see blood on that shield.
No.
Hell no.
That fucked with me. I'm like, you piece of shit. He didn't even fucking do it. And you just bash his fucking brains in.
Beat a man to death with the shield. That's hard, dude.
Like, I was not happy about that. I was fucking physically mad. I'm like, that shield never sees blood.
Right.
Because that is not the way. And I'm crossing fucking franchises, but is not the fucking way. Captain America doesn't do that, dude.
Right?
No.
Fuck, man.
Let me say, because we brought up memes a few times as well, I love the broken shield at the end, and one of the memes is someone saying to John Walker, they're asking the question, Hammer Industries?
Oh, yeah, because he made that chintzy fucking
That like, patch job of a shield, yeah.
Now, I will say, he did redeem himself.
Well,
somewhat. Not fully, but he did kind of, because he made the choice to save versus go with his gut of revenge.
True,
that's a thing.
See, that also felt a little, like, jarring to me.
That was
my problem with John
Walker. Half-hearted.
Is that, it felt like there was a cut scene in between, like, every single one of his scenes, in my opinion. Where I was like, there's context that I needed, and now I don't know what the fuck I feel about this person. And maybe that's the point, but it was just a little, everything else felt so fleshed out, and that did not.
That was one of the things that I had the least appreciation for, was that they tried to have a redemption arc, like, thrown in at the last end with the US agent, especially
it was weak, yeah.
It was so fucking close to what even the writers have said is the moment where the Winter Soldier no longer is the Winter Soldier and he's White Wolf and he has become the hero that he wants to be is a moment that he's like ripping the door open on the armored vehicle to let the GS, whatever, people, GSC get out. And somebody stops and is like, thank you, you saved our lives. And that was supposed to be kind of almost like a walking through a doorway into herodom.
Absolutely.
Where he's now
kind
of that person. He's become the person he's been trying to be, the person that's worthy of being the White Wolf and not Winter Soldier.
Right.
And so that's the moment that that's supposed to be. And then right after, this dude that's been a shithead the whole time, that just straight up murked a dude in front of a crowd with the shield, like a piece of shit. And he's talking to Lady Hydra and like making fucking plans. And he just like literally just doesn't let people die, and then that's supposed to make us feel better about him? No.
The worst part about it is when they make the whole reference of U.S. agent, and he's sitting there with his wife at the end, and he's like doing like high kicks, like, woo, I'm a U.S. agent. Yeah.
He was acting like somebody that tried out for a really well-known band, and they're like, you didn't get the role as like the rhythm guitarist, but you can be our roadie. And it's like, fucking roadie, woo!
Yeah.
Yeah!
I'll sell merch for you.
Yeah! You know? I just want to be included, woo!
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was just sort of like, he had such potential, and I understand why. The U.S. agent storyline can be done very well. But based on the way they had it written in with this last episode, it was kind of like, you guys ruined it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ruined it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think...
Ruined.
You ruined. They're trying to do so many shows in short order where Loki's coming up pretty soon that I think if they had given it another maybe 2 episodes to really flesh out that character a little bit more, it did. The last episode felt relatively rushed. Well, they put a lot in that last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for his story, it felt rushed. Everyone else's kind of felt fleshed out.
I think even to the point where the Flag Smashers getting to the point where they were getting ready to, like, fucking capture everybody and do all the shit, it was like suddenly, like, oh, they're doing it now. Like, it went from this something that they were kind of working towards to being like, oh, it's, like, literally today. Like, they're doing that later tonight.
Well, something was already given away when she called Bartruck, but even to build up more with Peggy Carter, the final reveal of her actually being Power Broker, which they allude to, like, since episode 3.
I feel like a lot of people figured that out pretty well ahead of time.
But there could have been such a buildup. And then, I mean, that final scene with her, the little extra credit scene, was beautiful.
Yeah.
But there still could have been a buildup on... I'm being a conniving bitch because fuck y'all.
I don't know. I feel like they went pretty hard with her being a conniving bitch from the get. I mean, really, as soon as they fucking introduce her and Sam, and they even call her out, it's like, oh, you're doing this now. Like, they made it known that she's working black market shit hard.
Yeah.
I feel like they really did.
I'm not saying they did it wrong. I'm just saying that they could have played, they could have had more to play with if they even threw in one extra episode to help wrap it up.
Okay. Yep. So, what I got was basically you had that time with her and then Sam made the deal.
Yeah.
And then Sam, basically with the last episode, Sam made good on his word.
Right.
And then you see her getting, you know, pardoned. Mm-hmm. And then you see her being a conniving bitch still. It's like, all
yeah,
right,
all right, true.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Here we Fair. Go.
Finally,
way to sully a good name.
Before we finish this episode, I do want to talk about...
Well, we didn't talk about Zemo really at all.
Zemo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
talk about before Zemo, we conclude, we really got to talk about Zemo a little bit. Is that this is a character that did some really fucking dark stuff in the MCU.
Yes. Yeah.
Like real dark.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, you kind of understood his reasoning. Not that he did it the right way or anything, but you understood where he was coming from. And that was fleshed out a little bit more in this. He's very likable. Which he is.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible.
I love the meme of him dancing, too, is like the best thing
apparently,
ever.
Apparently, there's a YouTube video of a full hour him dancing.
I started watching it, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But there is a full video.
Yeah.
It's just the repeat of him doing the thing. And the it's
the little head nod and arm. And
but there's an interview he does where he talks about, it's like, no, I'm, you know, because he's, I think he's from Spain, the actor, Nick Brule.
Brule.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he is an avid dancer. So he really wanted to try to bring that into the Zemo's character.
That's adorable. Right.
But he could do it as much as he could because Zemo is trying to blend in and be like, we're at a club, we need to dance.
Yeah.
That looks less awkward than Sam and fucking Bucky walking around like, I'm a badass.
Right, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And
the great thing about Zemo is I actually, even though it would have been great to see him more, Zemo's always been more of a background character.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was always one of Captain America's enemies. But he was part of, I say in air quotes, part of Hydra, but he was always working his own shit behind
Hydra.
Oh, yeah,
100%.
Mm-hmm. And he only popped up when he needed to, which was great. It just would have been nice to see the mask and a little bit more action. But I think, well, that actor is awesome anyways, and he played that part perfectly. And the way they, again, I mentioned it earlier about Sokovia and Ultron fucking up shit, and he was just like, fuck you guys. You haven't even been to the memorial. He called him out.
Oh, fully called him out.
Yeah, so.
And honestly, though, with going off that, this delve into him, like, it was more than just the loss of his family. It was like he understood that there's a lot of people that don't need this. They don't need to be injected and have superhuman strength.
Right.
And really, they focused more on that with his character of like, no, this needs to fucking stop. And Carly proved that by the end,
people
don't need to fucking have this. People don't need to just be able to shoot some shit up and be genetically enhanced.
Right, right.
I feel like that's why he's so likable, because now you're really seeing like, oh no, okay, I get what you're saying now. I get it. You went about it fucked up. But again, he's another character.
Right.
Went about it wrong, but you get what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you did like him as Zemo and you wanted to see more, like, fun shit that he's done, just released this Friday was, I think it was called Legacy, which is the making of. They did that for WandaVision as well.
Yeah.
They did an hour-long thing about the making of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and in the midst, they talk to Brule about his role as Zemo and how he went into the character and how they developed it from the movie that he was in. And just as a fun aside, in the club, he does like a commercial for Suitcovia. It's like, would you like to be dressed like me? Like sitting like sipping
awesome.
A scotch.
That's
he's
awesome.
Like, Suitcovia for all the most latest trends from Sokovia. You know Sokovia, try Suitcovia. And it's just him fucking off. Like he's just doing it off the cuff just for fun. And they filmed it because they were like in between shots or something.
Why not?
And you can hear the like cameramen and stuff like cracking up at the end of it because he's just being a fucking weirdo.
That's awesome.
That's why honestly that performance was like a weird, like unbelievable combination of like subtlety and flamboyance. And it's like, how did you pull that off? It was artful, obviously.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I've got to give him props for just knowing all the angles to get stuff like the candies. Like they're fucking struggling
genius.
To get like, and Bucky comes back all you know bravado. He's like, I know he's talking, and Zemo's just over there fucking handing out candies, getting all the information, and it's just
so well done.
Smart.
Well, that was the one thing that I read and like I totally forgot about as well is that you learned that he's a Baron.
Yeah.
So he's
always been a Baron. They said that in Civil War, but you don't really like
It doesn't click until you see him in the mask and you're like, Baron Zemo. Yeah. You know,
how he's not going to wear the crown. Let's just like get over the crown over the mask.
But he's a man who's been around. He knows how things function, even being a Baron.
Sure.
And that's what I mean. Like, for him to start popping up in either some of the movies or in another series of any type is perfect because he knows what's happening in the world.
Yep.
Again, he just goes about it a fucked up way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and agreed. And he, even though he's a Baron, yeah, you say he's been around. The reason he was around was because of Sokovia. Everything that he takes them to in the series is because of where he learned to go to find where to get his revenge during pre-Civil War after Sokovia. Yep,
exactly.
Like, he wasn't like this pre-Sokovia. Being destroyed.
I mean, no, they talk about that he did some dark shit.
No, he did do some dark shit. Yeah. But I mean, like, hit the level and the lengths of which he was willing to go for things.
They mentioned death squads. So I think he was probably
doing... Did they mention
death squads? Yeah, he was on death squads.
Even in the comic, he's always been kind of an asshole.
I'm talking about the show, though.
Well, even in the show.
When they were looking at his profile.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, like, he was part of, like, Sokovian death squads and shit. Yeah, like, he was... not a great dude.
Mm. Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, a loving father that was like a great, like, upstanding
citizen. Yeah, it wasn't like he did a complete 180 or anything.
No, he was already doing some fucked up shit.
He did maybe a little bit more of a 60 degree with just that little extra step, you know? Yeah. So.
Okay. My bad. Gotcha. Yeah,
it's not like all it takes is one guy and his one bad day. You know, it's not one. It's not that story.
It's not falling down.
It's not falling down.
The Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically the same movie.
It really is.
Totally.
Yeah.
One has makeup, one doesn't.
Yeah. Right. Now I want to see Michael Douglas as the Joker.
Oh, fuck yes.
You know he would, too.
He would.
Oh, yeah, he totally would.
He's like in the mirror, just be like, come on, DC, just putting on the lipstick.
Yeah.
No?
No. Just keep going.
All right. Well, we are at the tail end here of this episode, so. Of course, we could wax poetic about this. Like most of the episodes that we talk about,
absolutely,
we have to cut it at some point. But we appreciate you sticking around for this conversation. Our first in person in a while.
Yeah.
And it's been so lovely. It's been so nice to see you guys in person and share the beers that we're doing with what we're drinking. And I'm so stoked that we get to do this now. Which, a reminder to our listeners, get vaccinated.
Still wear a mask.
Safer, still wear a mask. Still do the safety precautions. But your life is going to improve dramatically just by making sure that you're making yourself and other people safe. So take care of that, and definitely stick around. We're not doing a Knights next week. We've got just too much cool shit coming out. So we're actually, I think Invincible is the next one that we're doing,
mm-hmm.
which I am very excited to talk about.
That show is so
good. Oh my God, it's so good. So good. If you have not had a chance to watch Invincible on Amazon Prime, go ahead and that's 8 episodes, I think.
Yeah, so, eight.
Yeah.
Is it? Eight?
It's 8. Yep. Yeah.
That's right, because that started before.
So you have a full week to take a listen or watch that show if you have not had a chance to.
One a night. You're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
So give that a watch and come back for our next episode all about Invincible, and we'll see you next time. Thank you to my panelists and to the Creepazoids for the use of Dead by Dawn for the intro and outro. And remember to rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you can do a review. Definitely do that. It helps us out a lot. And we'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
GUIPodcast.com.
If Winter Soldier dies, he dies.